Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to week three. We're talking ratios with Kathy Newton. Sorry, that's the broadcaster coming out in me. So Kathy, we're in week three. We talked about accounting. We talked about just kind of basic introduction to this course. But now we're getting into what I think is the nitty gritty. So talk to us about ratios. And I just a warning, I was terrible with fractions. I still am terrible with fractions. Every time I see that hilarious post on Facebook about the third pounder that one of the fast food chains tried to make to compete with McDonald's, not getting any popularity because people thought a third was less than a quarter pounder. So I was one of those people, Kathy.
No.
Other than simple math purposes, why are ratios so important? Why don't we start there?
Glad you asked. I tell you, ratios are some of the most fun, amazing things you can do when analyzing a business. All of us want to be able to understand the performance of our businesses. And we also have these, you know, I just described these cool financial statements, income statement, balance sheets. Where you really get, though, the best value in terms of information is when you're taking key pieces from those so that you can compare not only your own performance over time, which is a critical reason to do financial ratios, but imagine you want to compare it with other businesses that you're competing with. And maybe you are a totally different size than they are. If I could put these into percentage terms, I can at least get a sense of, you know, how am I performing relative to them on these same ratio calculations? Here's a simple one. We're going to look at profit margin. If I want to know my net profit ratio, right? I'm just going to take net income over sales. Now that comes right off of the income statement. It's the easiest ratio you can think of. I can go a little farther than that though. What about my return on assets? Assets are listed on the balance sheet. That's literally what I own here. That's creating a whole structure of my business, right? It's in the mix of those assets. What if I took my profit margin, right, that I just defined, percentage of my sales results in a net profit, and I divide that by, you know, I times it rather than assets that I've got. Now I can look at return on assets. So what kind of profit am I going to make on the assets in my corporation? Ooh, that's a very different sort of a measure and shows a measure of effectiveness for my operations. And, you know, you might not think that's a very big deal, but imagine, you know, I'm an owner and I've got all this investment in my assets. I'm going to clearly understand what kind of profits I'm making in relationship with that. So really important. More important when I take those over time and compare whether I'm increasing with those, decreasing of those. Those are critical. Now, look, there's a bunch of categories of ratios, right? Profitability is the one I just mentioned. But of course, liquidity. How quickly can I turn in all of this, these assets into real cash? You know, and usually we're only looking at those current assets when we're talking about liquidity. You know, I'm going to have cash up there in my checkbook, as I mentioned before, but I'm also going to have accounts receivable, you know, money that is owed to me, literally accounts waiting to be received from, you know, people who owe me money, essentially. So accounts receivable is a part of it. I've got inventory sitting out there. That's going to eventually sell and turn into cash as well, or liquidity for me. Those are critical pieces. I got to know what those are about and how long it's going to take for me to get that cash if I need it. Operational efficiency, things like return on assets is critical. What's my inventory turnover? That's another measure of operational efficiency. You know, if all I sell is hard goods, you know, I buy product, I put it, you know, I might as well have piles of green cash sitting in a warehouse, betting to come that I'm going to sell all of this at a high enough profit to make money. I mean, it's literally that kind of an equation when I'm in distribution or warehouse operations. You know, I'm betting to come that I can sell all that. Well, it's not that I just want to sell it all. I mean, I want to sell it all. And multiple times, because every time I turn something over, You know, I'm going to make a revenue on that, a profit on that. And if I can do that more often in a year, right, that turnover 5, 7, 9 times, for goodness sakes, that turn and earn makes me more money. Those are great operational things to think about and look at when I'm managing a business.
So just to make the connection back to smart manufacturing here, it sounds like so many of the smart manufacturing technologies that people integrate, the point is to make you more efficient so that you can create oftentimes more product. So what you were just talking about turnover and can you actually turn over that inventory seems like a really important question.
Well, it's huge, you know, and I was using a distribution example, but if I'm in a manufacturing environment, and by the way, I can automate distribution the same way as I can here. You've got to be able to use technology in a way that can make that more efficient, perhaps make it move faster. Maybe, we've all probably seen the lines of product moving through large systems and, you know, depending on what sensors are put on, they ship out at different times off of the production line. You know, that can make that much more efficient and much more reliable because I'm using those. You know, I can depend on automation to do that accurately, which is going to make me more money too. You know, so often what we're doing is trying to automate things that used to be done manually. Now we can automate those things in a way and, again, make sure that we're doing things accurately, without error, faster, right?
If I was understanding the implications, part of it was just because you're making more, you have more to sell, does not mean you're going to make money off of it. And that's an important consideration.
Well, that's true, too. You know, I do have to understand, you know, my demand, my marketplace, what kind of price point is going to be appropriate for those. And you know, we could go into all kinds of marketing classes or strategy classes and talk about those influences. But you're right, Elizabeth, it does matter. You know, how much am I going to make on this product does perhaps depend on the demand out there, the price I can sell it for, how quickly I can make this and perhaps ship it. You know, we've already in the last 5 to 10 years seen what a difference it makes if you can get a product to a key customer in a day. Well, very soon with drones, in fact, even today, you know, I can get a shipment delivered out of Indianapolis right here to Purdue this afternoon if I get it in there by this certain amount of time. We are in an era of time where speed is everything and it's just getting faster, you know. Drones are going to be delivering overhead very soon. It's already happening in places.
Don't get my hopes up, Kathy. I want to be one of the people flying the drones, but
from the ground.
Yeah. Well, from my office, of course, as a side job, you know.
Yeah. Oh, pretty much everything in manufacturing and these vertical channels that we have, there's a chance that pretty much everything can be automated to some degree.
Well, I'm really glad to hear your optimism about all these things. And of course, we always appreciate the references to industry as well. So let's shift gears a little bit and let's talk more about these ratios in terms of, you know, when we're talking about the investing body. So what kind of investing body is going to look at what ratios, or in other words, what ratios are really most important for your learners to keep an eye on?
Well, you know, if I'm thinking about who cares about my financial ratios, certainly my board of directors is going to care because it's going to demonstrate to them how we're managing this operation. You know, are we making as much profits as we should for the size of business that we have, both in terms of asset output or product output and in terms of these assets that we've got, you know, put in a certain structure to operate this business. So those are critical pieces that my board of directors is going to care about. My bankers are also going to care a great deal about what kind of profitability we have. Am I, in fact, going to be able to pay whatever debts that I might have? Can I cover my interest, for example? Am I moving that inventory? Do I have a warehouse full of, or a manufacturing plant full of things that aren't really going to sell, they care greatly about those kinds of things. And I think external stockholders, of course, are another group that are going to look at all of these ratios carefully. If I'm a big enough publicly held company, you know, Wall Street's going to be analyzing me and talking about me. And I'm going to be very careful with what I do. And when I say careful, I'm going to make sure I've got good profitability, that, you know, I do, you know, just the right amount of window dressing to be believable and hopefully look like the great company that I am on these income financial statements that go out and are analyzed. But I'm also, I'm just going to have to be smart about the moves that I make over time, because they want one is, you know, look, at any given day, I got a stock out there in the market. Somebody's going to be buying it because they think it's going to go up in value over time. Others are selling it because they think it's going to drop in value over time. Clearly, you want to be managing that in a way that they're always thinking positively. If you're a dividend paying company, you know, you're going to have to be, you're literally signaling to the marketplace what you believe about the future of your business by where those are. You know, are you doing a stock split? Boy, that's a pretty positive signal. You know, if you're a dividend giving company, you know, clearly, typically over time, those will continue to grow and grow up. So those are just a few of the users of this information that will care greatly about that. Not to mention your tax accountant. You know, they'll be doing this on an annual basis too for you.
Yeah, so speaking of that over time view, how does inflation affect all of this?
That's a great question. And, you know, a lot of us are worrying about this right now. Inflation, just think about that being raised prices over time, right? And it can tell us a lot when we're in periods of inflation. You know, if it's happening too fast, are we in a sort of a overheated economy? You know, things are moving too fast, or there's stresses in the marketplace. You know, when we've got a hostile market of some sort, kind of like we do during COVID, right? We've got lots of competing demands for products. We've got limited supply chain delivery modes. You know, there's a lot of people who think we're right in the middle of a crisis here. And so our inflation, all of those activities are going to raise prices. It's going to make it harder for you and me to afford the things that we need, in some cases, even to get it. I work with lots of industries around here that tell me they can't get the products that they need. You know, I've got a, you know, even walking into my dry cleaners and they said, man, we can't get a part. It'll be a week out for these. You know, this is a strange time we're living in because of all of those things. And inflation over time, now, I trust that because some of this is COVID related, that will go back down over time. But that gives you an idea. Inflation from my company tends to inflate and distort my reported earnings. It might not really reflect my true economic, you know, returns. You know, if prices for everything I buy keeps inflating and I'm selling products that were bought at an older price, well, I may end up actually selling those at a newer, higher price to reflect what's happening in the marketplace. Could be good, could be bad, depending on what direction that goes into. But clearly, I want to keep an eye on both inflation. By the way, there's the opposite of that called deflation, right? Where things can go down in price. And that's a reduction of that rate of inflation. Both of those can be destructive if they're happening in great amount of times. You'll see in our chapters how to calculate and to essentially accommodate for periods of inflation and deflation. But as an owner, you want to keep an eye on that and see exactly what it's going to mean to you as a business owner and to the resulting profits.
So Kathy, one of the things that I was curious about, thank you for talking about COVID. I was going to ask you to what degree COVID has also affected that as well. And so I think if I'm understanding you correctly, it sounds like there are just a lot of different factors that we really can't control, that we just have to be aware of with our ratios. Is that correct?
Well, it is. And one way to think about this is what we see happening at the grocery stores, from toilet paper to milk to, you know, you name it. Imagine what's going on in the major manufacturing organizations around here. Many of them are also buying ahead because the illustration I just gave you, I mean, you can't find a part. Many of the key suppliers around here can't get enough inventory to meet the demand for the parts that their big OEM or big manufacturing people want. This is a tough time. But if you're one of those companies, what are you going to do over the last year since COVID hit? Many of them have started buying ahead in very large quantities. Me, who could afford to do that and go out there and get that for the things I know I'm going to have high demand for. But what does that do to everybody else who's needing those products? There's some real paralysis across industry segments, simply because lots of people are doing the same thing. And so, just like us at the grocery store having difficulty finding products, it's happening in manufacturing environments. Hope that helps.
Absolutely, that helps. Thank you. So I wanted to talk about something that's unique to me, because I'm very interested in the auto industry. So I recently purchased a van, of course, recently in terms of when we recorded this. And I was told ahead of time to, if I was going to buy a car, buy it soon, because the prices were going to go up. You know, obviously, steel has gotten a lot more expensive. And I was also kind of reading about the chip shortage, which I'm sure we've all heard by now. And I've read about the Ford Bronco. I don't know how familiar you are about this, but with the Ford Bronco, I've heard that many people who had ordered these Broncos, you know, a long time ahead of time, the dealerships now are trying to recoup that cost by now making these a lot less affordable by adding like all these prices and stuff like that. Is that something that is common, where we deal with these, you know, these ramifications where the prices are going to go up and then that's going to affect our ratios, or that the prices are going to go down, or...
Absolutely. The actual price point at which we sell our products is going to have a huge impact on our income statement, right? And I can boost my profits, particularly if I think that the market will bear an increased price on the Broncos. And if I start adding, you know, I'm going to add heated seats, I'm going to add, you know, whatever I can to make this a little bit higher price point, then I can take advantage of the inflated prices on cars right now. And let me tell you, it's a big deal. I don't know if you've got a used car to sell, but wow, the prices on used cars right now are crazy high. And so, you know, if you're going to want to negotiate a new van, it'd probably be better to have a great used car that you could go for. In general, I wouldn't say... I would do that. I don't like to trade in. You don't make as much. But in this case, if they can make a lot of money off of your trade in, you might be able to better negotiate that van. This is another interesting time to live in. And I hear unbelievable stories right now about how much people are making on products of every kind. I'll tell you my story. We just sold the boat. We had a deck boat. We've had it since 2014. We were really thinking about selling it and buying something new. We had a problem with the lake that we were on, and so we couldn't even get it out of the lake last year. So we decided to go ahead and sell it. What we didn't realize is that we were actually going to be able to make, let's just say, how much was that? We increased the sales price 45% over the price we paid for that in 2014. This is 2021. We made a lot of money on that boat. We didn't go into it thinking we were going to be able to, but when you start looking around at what they're selling for, it's like, oh my gosh, we'd taken good care of it. We'd done some things to it to make it. It's not just boats, it's cars, it's farm equipment, it's pretty much everything that you can think that right now is selling at a higher price.
So, Kathy, to what extent does this bleed into non-recurring items? I mean, let's hope that COVID is a non-recurring items in more ways than one. But when we see this boost, right, we see this boost and suddenly supply and demand chain, supply and demand. We talk about supply chain. We talk about stimulus checks, you know, these things that are they considered non-recurring? And how do we factor these in?
Well, you do make a good point there. I mean, if I'm going to look at a non-recurring item that's come into my income, I might be selling off a piece of property. I might be selling a very large piece of equipment that's not going to happen again. You know, that's a non-recurring, you know, inflow. It could be a non-recurring expense item too. Could be, you know, all kinds of write-offs or litigation or, you know, any number of things. Non-recurring simply means it's unlikely to happen again anytime soon. But in terms of income too, you could talk about the COVID checks. I mean, many businesses around here got non-recurring COVID checks. On the other hand, many people around here are, in fact, I think I just heard Congress is looking at a fourth stimulus check, right, for homes. I think that was in the news just 2 or 3 days ago here. So you're almost going to recurring for the fourth time now, a stimulus check going to unemployed Americans who were essentially placed out of work due to COVID, you know. So you've got an unusual situation where something would be typically, you know, non-recurring is recurring. There may be some corporations who are small businesses who are also having the same thing.
All right. Well, that was all fascinating. If you were going to leave your students with some key things to remember about ratio analysis and why it matters for people interested in smart manufacturing, what would you leave them with?
Number one thing, when you're looking at ratios or trends, you have to be very careful. One ratio is just that. It is one ratio. And it's also one period of time. You have to really have the context of all of the ratios. You have to have the context of what's been occurring over time. I'm going to even go farther and say what's going on in my own industry. Look, I might be in a very mature industry. And on the end of that maturity cycle, about to go into decline. And I can have a pretty nice, maybe even a bit of a cash cow that's been there for a long time in terms of making me money. But because I can see what's happening, oh my gosh, just in terms of everything from demographics of our population to the technology life cycles that we have can overnight change what's going to happen in my business. Because as I move out of this maturity phase and go into decline, overnight, I can be in real trouble simply by looking at the ratio today. So I have to take always the big perspective. If my students, you guys students are going to be doing an analysis, you have to think about where we are in context of the industry and the economy. You know, is this economy in an inflationary period, deflationary period? Are we about to go to war? Is there a risk for that? Those things matter a great deal too. So you can't ever look at one small piece of anything and think that you know the answer.
Kathy, thank you so much for putting the big picture into perspective for us. I think that it's easy for us to look at a ratio or a point in time and say, this is going to be great. And then we forget that things will come up, that things will change, and that it is always going to be in flux.
Thank you. It's been fun talking to you today, Adam.